Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
Miss Olga, where are you? Come. I want to introduce to you she is with the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. And are you on furlough?
Yes.
Good to have you with us this morning. Ms. Nava has been serving our Lord for 27 years as a missionary.
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful. So she's going to show us some videos at this point, and then she's going to speak to us about her ministry. And then I'd like for you to get to know her a little bit better after service, if you would simply come and speak to her and let her know how glad you are that she is here with us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your servant who has been faithful to serve in areas, Lord God, that are challenging, areas that are dangerous. But Father, her love for Jesus Christ compels her to go and to speak the gospel of Jesus to those who need to hear and be saved. Bless her as she speaks to us today. Father, stir us up, inspire us. Burn within us, Lord God, that desire again to be on mission, to go and to serve you, Father, in places where we can go, to people whom we can speak to. And we will be careful to praise you for it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
I just want to thank you for being a church that gives to the IMB. We have a new president, David Platt, and he is awesome. He's on target, and his aim is to get us all everywhere in this world out there to minister to those that have never heard. And if you're wondering, I can never go out there. Oh, yes, you can. I'm too old. Yes, you can. I'm too young. Oh, yes, you can. I've got kids. Oh, yes, you can. God can use each and every one that has a willing heart to go. And there are many people that have retired that go back and help missionaries that are new and are encountering problems. And you've been through life. You've experienced so much. So you can go and help and counsel them and encourage them, support them. There are guest houses where they need to take a break and they need someone with experience that can handle a guest house or an office and go for a couple of weeks and take a break. Or retreats. This church can volunteer to go and help even our Central Asia in Dubai and take care of the children while we have a rest time, a time of retreat. So there are many ways, countless ways that you can serve. And so I want to encourage you. But I want to share with you, you might think, well, I could never go out there. Those are different countries. There is even another fourth one where missionaries are doing amazing work. And people at this day and age are coming to the Lord by the hundreds, if not the thousands. But I want to share with you about a story of a young girl from East LA College that never dreamt about going overseas. In fact, she grew up in a home where her parents were alcoholics. And there were so many children with so many problems, 8 in the family. And the parents, not knowing any better, were not taking care of those kids. And that child that I'm talking to you about was so happy to see her dad coming home from work one day, and she went right up to him and kissed his hand, and he slapped her on the face and said, "Don't you ever kiss a man's hand. You don't know where it's been." And that child began a life of insecurity and felt she was so unloved by her father. And everything that she did to try to please him never seemed to work. So she grew up with this insecurity. And then she grows up in a rough and tough neighborhood and ends up falling in love with a boy that had the same needs broken, and they latch on together and start having a life together, but all wrong. And they try to find life to do it right. This girl ends up going to college and ends up getting a degree, ends up becoming a teacher, and saves her money and wants that American dream, and goes out to Hollywood, to Toluca Lake, and rents an apartment in Toluca Lake, Oakwood Apartments. New car, new apartments, her boyfriend, her money, her job. She had it all, so she thought. But she was so empty because that boy was not faithful to her. And they were doing it all wrong. She had turned away from her family and said, I don't want to be with a poor family, let alone alcoholics. So she turned away from that family, but yet found herself so empty. Went to her first year of teaching at a low poverty school, low income school, and began working in a Catholic community. But there was one student that seemed to be so different from all the rest. She would stay after school and correct papers for the teacher, and she would clean up the classroom for the teacher. And that teacher fell in love with that 9-year-old fourth grade student named Maria Cruz. And after a month and a half, the little girl asked her, do you go to church, teacher? And ashamed, she nodded her head and said no. And she said, you know, I'm going to be baptized in 2 weeks. I need to learn 13 Bible verses, and if you memorize them with me, I'm going to get a new Bible, and I'm going to give you my old Bible. And not knowing even what Bible verses were, she committed to it because the girl was so sweet to her. She went that weekend, and she memorized, would you believe, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That teacher did not know the meaning of what it was to be loved without conditions. She knew the condition of her parents, and she knew the condition of her boyfriend. So she was so happy to know that God loved her. And it said that she would never perish. Well, coming from a Catholic background, she knew that she was not even going to be going to purgatory. She was going to go straight to hell the way she had been living. And yet, for the first time, she knew that she could have eternal life. And she went back to that little student and said, I memorized John 3:16, never memorized any other Bible verse. The little girl got her new Bible, was baptized, and she gave that teacher her old Bible. And that teacher, the first year, back in 1978-79, began to read that Bible every night with a boyfriend sleeping next to her. Every single night, she read pages from the Bible. At the end of June, she had read the entire Bible, and though she didn't understand everything, she had been convicted by many things that it said. So she went back and she told her sister, why aren't you going to school to church anymore? And her sister said, well, my teacher is gone back to Estes, Colorado, and I don't have anyone to take me. And that teacher said, I'll take you. And she was surprised because that teacher never had gone to church. And she went for the first time to a church and sat and listened to the pastor. And it seemed like the pastor was talking about her and to her. And she cried and cried throughout the service, went home, came back the next week, and the same thing happened. She felt the pastor was talking about her and to her. And she cried and she cried, and she went back to that boyfriend and said, we are living wrong. We've been together 10 years, and what do you have to show? She said, I bring in the money, and you're like the housewife. You clean the house and fix everything in the house and wash clothes. And furthermore, I'm not going to buy you drugs anymore. And so he said, okay, I'll get a job. I'll get two jobs. We'll move out of these rich apartments and we'll get married in December. So that was the plan. And while he was training, that teacher decided, okay, I'm not going to have anybody clean my house. I'm going to go and wash clothes and clean the house. And she went and washed clothes, came back to the house, got a load of clothes, and started to go out the door. And the sliding door closet opens, and there is a man, and he's got her wallet in his hands. She drops the basket, runs out. The guy gets her by the neck. She falls, and he grabs her, and she's struggling to get away, and he's got a bandana where he's going to choke her, and she begins to plead, "Don't do that, please. I'm not going to do anything. Please, let me show you. I don't have money." And she gets the purse, and she dumps it on the bed. She shows him the checkbook and said, "I don't have money." And he's grunting all this time, and she realizes he's a deaf mute. Well, he puts his hand over her mouth, puts her hand in the back, and takes her to the dresser, looks through all the drawers. There's no money. Goes back to the kitchen, goes through the cupboards, no money. Puts the latch on the door, goes to the bedroom, and motions for her to take off her clothes. And she pleads with him, "Please don't do this. Please don't do this." Grabs a pencil by his earlobe, gets a piece of paper that's on the bed, and he writes, "Satan, the devil, hell." And he rapes her. And while he is raping her, she is crying out to God, "Why, God? Why are you letting this happen to me? I'm looking for you." He finishes. He motions, "Will you yell if I let go?" She says, she nods no. He lets go, gives her clothes. She puts on her clothes. When she puts on her clothes, she notices he's standing right next to her. And he's got the Bible open. And he's got the Bible open to John 3:16. She looks at that Bible verse and she looks at him. She grabs a piece of paper and she says, "I know that Bible verse." And he writes, "I'm a Christian. I backslid 3 years ago. I was desperate for money. I saw these rich apartments. I saw you leave the door open. I came in wanting to get money from you. Since I couldn't find any money, I did this thing to you. Can you forgive me for what I have done?" And it seemed like her whole life just instant played before her of how she had lived her life. And she said to him, she wrote, "If God can forgive me for all my sins, which are many, why can't I not forgive you for this one sin? All I ask is that you promise never to do this to another woman." And he wrote, "I promise." So then they nodded and he went out. And as soon as he went out, he rang the doorbell. He came right back in. On the counter at the kitchen was a scroll, and he took a piece of that paper and he said, "What is your name?" So she gave him his name. "What, can I come and talk to you?" "Yes, tomorrow, yes." "Can I write to you?" "Yes." "Can I have your address?" She gave him the address. And then he said, "I'm afraid. You're going to turn me into the police. My father's a sheriff." And she said, "You leave as my friend." So they nodded. He went out. Soon as he went out, she leaned against the door and just fell down and wept. And she wept. And she wept. And she wept. Until she had no more tears to weep. And she felt that God was telling her, "If you think this is bad, you're going down a dead end alley in life. Or you could choose me." It was actually 2 weeks later that she saw a program on TV that said exactly how she felt. And he said, "Are you trying to live the American dream? And you find yourself so empty, And it's because Christ is not the Lord of your life. You can ask him to come into your heart and he will forgive you of all your sins. And I said, I want that. I want that, is what she said. And so she knelt down. She asked Christ to come into her heart that day. She went back to the church. She became a member. She was baptized. And before long, she was going on mission trips. And before that, she found herself going overseas. And that person was me. I never anticipated going overseas. God can use anyone that has a heart to go. And he can transform your life. And that's what he began to do. 7 years later, my parents became believers. They ended up blessing me. I have a picture where I'm kneeling down and they have their hands over my head and they sent me off. My dad said, if I was young, mija, I would go with you. And so God can do so many things. If not with you, your children, let them go if they have a heart to serve. If not your children, your grandchildren, pray for them. Pray that they would go. And if you have never given to Lottie Moon, give. Because when you give people like me a chance to go overseas and serve. And I've been so blessed to be in Central Asia. Of course, I can't mention my name along with my country. So we always say that we work in Central Asia. So I would plead with you. Outside at the information booth, they've sent many, many brochures in many ways that you can pray for Central Asia. And Central Asia would be where all the majority of the Muslims are at. And I'm happy to say, and so grateful to the Lord to say, that in the 13 centuries of Islam, this century has been the first century to begin to open the hearts of Muslims to receive Christ. Hundreds and thousands are coming to the Lord. And within the last 5 years, let me back up. My first year, my language teacher became a believer. And for the next 20 years, it seemed like we were tilting that hard soil in that country. And it seemed like they were never going to come to the Lord. And 5 years ago, I have the pleasure of telling you that lots of my close friends have become believers. And now at the universities, the kids are going to universities. And some of them are going overseas and studying and getting their masters and coming back. A few of them are coming back. And some are going out as refugees and to different countries, and I've had the privilege to see many of them tell me their stories where they either saw visions or people had talked to them in their country, but they were afraid. And now that they're out of the country, they're curious to know and they want to hear more. And so many are coming to the Lord. There is this one Pakistani guy. I have two books that I'm going to recommend. If you're a reader, read David Garrison's book called A Wind in the House of Islam. It is powerful how God is coming to the Muslims with and without other people to tell them. Some are seeing visions. Some are seeing even Christ up in their village. Some are having God encounters. And that's one book. The second book I highly recommend, if you're an evangelist and you just love to talk to people about the Lord, you will love Nabil Qureshi, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. That Pakistani guy talks about his life as a son, only son, to a missionary family for Islam, and shares all his life so you get an idea of how the Muslims are dedicated to Islam and how he, along with his friend challenging him, began to realize that all the things that the Christian believes are true. And so first he said the Bible is not reliable. And his friend went back and showed him how very reliable, even with the scrolls and all the things that have been found in the past. And he said, well, it's been changed. And he said, didn't your mother just call you right now? And he said, yes. And didn't you just tell me what she said to you? And he said, yes. And he said, well, that's what people have been doing from the past. They get something they understand, and they translate it to a language another person understands, and they understand the word. Did I understand what you said? He said, yes. Then that's how we've done it with the scriptures. And he began to realize it can be translated, and still mean the same thing. So he convinced him of that. He convinced him that Jesus is God, convinced him that Jesus was raised on the third day, and began to learn about the Muslim faith, how shaky ground it stands on. You'll be fascinated by that book, and your faith will grow, because you'll realize here are these Islamic guys that are on fire for the Lord and are standing true to the Lord. And he even says that as a child growing up in the United States, he used to like to challenge kids at school because kids, they didn't know Christianity. They couldn't stand up against Christianity. Know your faith, guys. You guys got an awesome faith, and learn how to tell them the good news. And so I'd like to show you some pictures about my work, and then after, if you have any questions, you're most certainly welcome to ask me. These are the mountains that were at one time blown up by the Taliban because they had Buddha statues. And this was my residence for about 6 years. No electricity, no running water, and no gas. So everything was done manually. And I fell in love with the people. This is a building where I would go and teach English. It takes about half an hour from the capital of the city to get there. Agricultural land, beautiful land, hardworking people. Most of the people, once it's harvest time, this family would stop going to school and begin helping out in the fields. Very, very, very rough life for kids. By the time 8 years old, the girl is 8 years old, she starts wearing what's called the chador over her head and goes to the stream to go wash clothes and wash dishes every single day. Whether it's 30 degrees or 90 degrees, and they grow up really having a tough life. And getting prepared for marriage. That's all they look for. But things are changing in the city. So this is a typical village woman. And we're praying that God would raise leaders in the city, which is happening. There's one leader that is leading or supervising 10 other groups of small believers. So we're praying that those believers will be the ones going out into the villages to share. So in the foreground, you have flowers there, and those are the potatoes. In the background, you'll have the wheat, that's the main crop that's grown there. And this is where they store their potatoes. Our company, Your Money, helped to build potato storages because they would grow their potatoes, sell them all at a cheap price, and then they had no more money and no more potatoes. So then My co-worker, Jeff, taught them how to not sell all the potatoes, save the potatoes, and then when they're all gone, then they can sell more even at a higher price. So beautiful, beautiful country. And then we also helped make these like water faucets, because they would actually just drink water from the ground. The animals will pass through there, they'll do their work, they'll drink their water, and they wash their clothes, they wash their bodies there. So we were able to build quite a few of these fountains there. This is the way the bazaar looks up there in the mountains. And before, we only had two or three types of fruit or vegetables, but thank the Lord, with time, that was some 20 odd years ago, now it's It's improved greatly. And this is the city. This is where houses are being built, mainly apartments are being built. Companies are being established. Kids are going to school. Parents are thinking more, not just they'll finish high school, but maybe they can go to college. And that's so exciting after some 20-odd years to see that happening. They're a hospitable people. You go into their house and within minutes you'll have tea and cookies and nuts and candies to eat. Whether you stay there 5 minutes or 20 minutes, you'll have something before you. They love people. They are so generous with so little that they have. I think on the average, maybe $50 a month. There are no factories. Their work are pushing a cart and selling fruit and vegetables or pencils or notebooks, a little bit of clothes, but not much. This is a typical meal. Their dessert is fruit. And so bread and rice most of the time is served. Here they have a soup called charwa. And they do, most of the village people do eat with their hands. They always sit on the floor. They're cross-legged. Very simple, very beautiful people. This is what's called kabuli palau, one of their favorite and most famous meals. The meat is in the middle of the rice, and would you believe, my pastor, Chris, knows how to make it. And these guys lived up on the hill, on the mountains, and the boy on the right actually became a believer. This was my auntie. At one time, I was calling her my grandma, when I realized I'm just 5 years younger than her. I said, whoops. And that little girl almost died when she was a baby. She was very sick, and they had given up on her, but I didn't give up on her. We prayed and prayed and prayed, and she's about 13 years old right now. And I'm praying that I'll be able to go back into the mountains. And now that I feel that my language is strong enough, I speak the language of Dari. My fikr mekanamke metonem kegab mezanem Dari gab mezanem amroyeu daborei soy masi. I can talk to them about Jesus Christ. This whole family I just adore. I love. They were my neighbors. The gal in the middle did everything for me. She loved me so much. She would wash my clothes, go to the streams and bring water for me. She'd clean my house. She'd want to cook. The first time I got there, they said, oh, today you're going to eat potatoes and rice. I said, great. And the next day they said, you're going to eat rice and potatoes. And the next day they said, you're going to eat potatoes. And the next day they said, you're going to eat rice. And I realized that's all they had. And so I began, my boss began teaching them how to do many kinds of vegetables and how they needed vegetables and fruit. And the lady to the far left lives in the city. And that little boy that's on her laps was going to die. And I went to the hospital. Some of those hospitals are atrocious. If you're going to go there, you might as well expect to die. So that little guy was dying, but not because he had to die. It's because they were not paying attention to him. And as soon as they saw a foreigner, then they brought the doctor in. The doctor started taking such good care of him. He got well quickly. And so she says that I helped to heal that child, but it just gives me an open door to share the good news. Her daughter, that's not up here, her little finger was smashed on the door 2 years ago during their Ramadan, their fasting. And my dear, precious Korean doctor friend helped to sew it up and stuff. And that day, the one on the left, she received Christ, and her 9-year-old son received Christ. The lady holding the little baby on the far right, that little grandson has problems with the heart, but because I know a Mongolian doctor that's a dear friend of mine in Kabul, she took him to a hospital. And at hospital, they deal with other kids that have murmurs in their hearts and all that. But because she went as a foreigner, they began to take care of him. So practically everyone in that family has been helped in a very small, miraculous way that they're believing in the Lord Jesus. Uneducated. Just beautiful family. And that's the gal that used to do all my work. She's got three children, and I'm praying that I'll go back and share the good news with her. She's accepted Christ, but I know she had no idea what she did. Our language was limited, but I think I can go and clear and share that with her. So this is a typical village marriage. This is a typical city marriage. I can just, I know I have very little bit of time, but I can tell you that this gentleman on the left was killed, was poisoned because he was a believer. His wife on the left is a dear friend of mine. She has a 10-year-old son. He's 10 years old now. And they live in Virginia. And she's a believer and going to a church similar to ours here. So, and very mission-minded. And she's a blessing. I don't have time to tell you about her, but that's her. That's here in Virginia. That's her without a scarf. She's free. And then she's talking to her Pashtun friend. She's a Hazara. That's the people I work with, Hazaras. And she's a Pashtun. They're enemies in their country. They hate each other. But here she is telling her about the Lord, telling her about the songs of the Lord. And that little boy in the middle, I call him Matthew, he goes to Iwana and loves the Lord. So, and this is her family. That's her brother there, her sister, both believers, her mother. That's Shirley, her name is Sharifa, and then her other sister. So I'm just going to go fast. The future is in the hands of the youth. These are the Mongolians that have been working. This is part of my team, our manager, my driver, this guy and the third one. They're all believers. All of them are believers. The last two are Mongolian. The one in the middle is my guard, and he's a believer. His daughter over here on the far right, and next to him are believers. His wife is totally against it and has threatened him that she's going to tell her uncle, that's they call him Mullah, which is a pastor in Islam. He's a believer, but very afraid. And those are his kids. Those are kids that went to Mongolia to study and now have graduated. And that girl is in Houston right now, an orphan. And this was when we were in Mongolia, and these kids went to school there. And here they are eating horse meat. Mongolians eat horse meat, and it's delicious. Okay. And then here's another dear family that I love. This girl in the forefront is Banafsha, and she lives in Cleveland, Tennessee, going to Lee University, a Christian school. And these are my students. And this is my boss and his wife and their two kids. And here's my team. Here's our apartment. Downstairs we have Global Leadership Institute. And what are we teaching them? Servant leadership. What are we teaching them? Principles from the Word of God. And the wives are saying, what are you doing to my husband? He's become such a good man. Keep doing whatever you're doing because we like it. And we're just establishing relationships and opening their hearts so that they could open their hearts to the Lord. This is my bedroom. This is my bathroom in the city. This was my classroom. And this was the first set of guys that graduated from the Global Institute, Leadership Institute. And the fields are white. The fields really are white. And all we need is laborers. And if you have a heart to serve, even if it's for just a little while, you contact the mission board and they'll find a place for you. If you want to go and serve, do it. And if you've been giving, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And if you've not been giving and you even want to give as a church and say in honor of Olga Nava, it'll still go to the mission board, all of it. But they'll know that you are support, really are supporting me in prayer. I just I thank you for that. I thank you so much. This gal had cancer, the second one from the left, and she had it this big. I can't even tell you, can't show you, but when they finally took it out, it said malignant level 4. She's alive. She's alive. God did a miracle. That's all we can, that's all the way that I can explain it. And she and her mother received the Lord. Now I'm going to work on the other two, the sister and the sister-in-law. And got to go to Greece in Athens, and there are believers there, Muslims that are turning to the Lord. Oh, and from Iran, from Syria, from Afghanistan, from Turkey, from Africa, they're coming over. See, if we're not going to go to them, guys, God is going to bring them to us, and that's what He's doing. Yep, and here they are. These are the Hazaras. They have a kind of an Asian look on their faces, and I got a chance to go to Frankfurt, Germany, and with my former pastor's wife in the middle, and a good gal that knows how to speak. Getting all excited, and the time's running out. But these are the refugees, and these are the ones that are turning to the Lord. This guy is the husband of the gal on the far left. And I told you, one girl received Christ when I first went to Pakistan, when I was talking about myself. And she received the Lord 27 years ago. She married this Hazara guy, and this guy is like a Paul in the Bible. He is dynamic, and he is doing Bible studies with FIBA Radio. He is broadcasting Bible studies that are now satellite going into Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, Turkey, and hundreds by the hundreds of Muslims are coming to the Lord. And this is another brother that's a powerful leader. He's Tajik, and he also is training a lot of guys in our country, Central Asia. And this one was the one that was poisoned because of his faith. And this is my Korean friend, and a month and a half after she and her two daughters and her husband went to our country in the city, he attended a procession where they celebrate Ali's son's martyrdom, and they hit themselves with chains and spikes on their backs. And that day when her husband went to go observe this, three suicidal bombers exploded in the center of downtown, and 220 Hazara Afghans were killed, and her husband was in the midst of that. So instead of her going home, within 2 weeks, she buried her husband there in the capital, and has a clinic serving Hazara women, any women, any tribe, but women and children, and she is leading a lot of people to the Lord. And so the time has come for me to finish, but I just again want to thank you for supporting the IMB, because you support me. And God bless you, and may your hearts move. My story is a story of forgiveness. When that man raped me, only God could have put that forgiveness in my heart. And that's the one thing that I've learned from the very beginning as a believer 39 years ago. And so I ask you, if you'd harbor any hatred, any hurt, give it to the Lord. Ask Him to forgive you. I ask the Lord to forgive me for holding that against my mother and my father, for being alcoholics and us being out in the street at a young age. My mom just died 4 years ago, and I loved my mother when she left. And I'm just telling you, God wants to do so much in your life. Don't let it stop you. Don't let age stop you. If Lois, that is 93 years old, Chris's mom, can still be walking around, she has the Lord in her heart, you guys can do it. And I appreciate, and I ask for your prayers as I go. I have 1 year to be in the States. I'll be back in Central Asia in June. God bless you. Please don't forget the brochures. They're in the back. They're beautiful brochures. Just beautiful. Just take them, because at your house, when you're sitting down, you're bored, or you want to read, or how can I pray for these people? It's filled with prayer requests. God bless you.
Well, yeah, wow. Wow. We have... We've had something special today. Amen. This church has been a very faithful church in missions, not only in mission giving, but also going out on missions, mission teams to Guatemala, mission teams to Japan, mission teams to Ukraine and other places. God has put that burden in our hearts. God has provided opportunities for us to go and do things like that, but we haven't been going lately. For whatever reason, we haven't been going lately. Maybe this is an opportunity for us. This is a part of the revival that we're asking for, praying for. God will stir up within our spirit again to go and to minister to people. There are plenty of people to minister to here, but maybe God has placed a burden upon your heart to go to another place, to another culture, to another people group, and get involved there. We leave that with you and the Lord. We say thank you, Miss Ogle. Thank you so much for coming. And all the way from Los Angeles up here is quite a drive, and we appreciate you coming and inspiring us as you have. Let's stand together. Father, we give you thanks. It is humbling. It's exciting to hear what you're doing in places that are ravaged by war, poverty, disease, starvation. And yet, people are hungry to know about Jesus. And people are coming to faith in Jesus by the hundreds, by the thousands. Thanks to people like Miss Nava. Her life is on the line, day in and day out. And yet she goes because you've sent her. And you've given her opportunities to minister to young women, to young men, to teach, to witness, to encourage, to counsel, to befriend. Thank you for her heart. Thank you for preparing her, as difficult as a life that she has had. Those scars you gave to her for a purpose. And Father, the blessings now are coming. Thank you for that. Thank you that she is in the midst of a revival that's going on where she serves. After long years of being faithful and planting, now the harvest is coming. What a joy. What a joy to share with her in that. And Father, now I pray that as we leave the house, you will inspire us to get busy. You will inspire us not to be content to sit and listen, but to go out and do for Christ. Thank you for her, and we pray your blessing upon her and her pastor, her pastor's friend, mother-in-law. Lord, thank you for bringing them to us here safely. We pray that you will give them blessing as they travel back to Los Angeles. May the remainder of the day be spent reflecting on what we've heard here today and thinking about our place in your greater plan of sharing the gospel around our world. In Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Have a great day and a great week in the Lord.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.